Part 5. Duryodhan asks Bhishma for an assessment of the Pandavas' army. Yudhishthir began to move his army into position on the battlefield. Drishyadyumna appointed specific tasks to the principal warriors. Each chariot fighter was to protect the divisions of foot soldiers from the enemy charioteers. Equals should fight equals. The chiefs of the army were allotted chiefs on the opposing side. Bhima would fight with Duryodhan, Sahadev with Shakuni, Nakul with Ashwatthama, Shikhandi with Bhishma, Uttamauja with Kripa, and Drishtadyumna would engage with Drona. Abhimanyu, whom he considered as powerful as Arjuna, was ordered to engage with all the kings supporting Duryodhan, while Arjuna had the task of protecting the entire army. Gradually, the Pandava forces arrayed themselves. By evening, everyone was in position, ready to march into the battle the next morning. Duryodhan was sitting amid all his generals when Uluka returned and delivered the Pandavas' replies. The prince sneered and turned toward Bhishma. "The war begins tomorrow, O grandfather. So what should be done now?" Bhishma, having surrendered himself to the certainty of war and the hopelessness of making Duryodhan see sense, replied, "After bowing before Kumar, the god of war, I will act as your general. I am as capable of organizing armies as Brihaspati, conversant with every means of attack and defense employed by men, gods, and demons. I will confound the Pandavas. I will fight according to the rules laid down in holy books, all of which I know. Let your fears be gone." Duryodhan did not like hearing that he might be afraid. "I am not afraid even of the gods and asuras united. Oh, you of long arms, I tell you this truly. How much less afraid am I when I have you as my commander and Drona by my side? Oh, best of men, with you fighting for me, I think kingship of the gods would not be hard to attain." Duryodhan then paused reflectively. Surely his army was invincible, especially under Bhishma and Drona's leadership. But the Pandavas had so far proved difficult to overpower, even without the support of an army. Now they had amassed 7 divisions of warriors ready for war, and the brothers, protected by the wily trickster Krishna, would fight filled with rage. Krishna had made sure of that. The Kaurava prince looked inquisitively at Bhishma. I now desire to hear from you about the strengths and weaknesses of the enemy, and also of ourselves. Please tell me everything you know. Sitting before a large number of warriors in Duryodhan's tent, Bhishma then said, O King, listen as I describe who are the Ratas, Maharatas, and Atiratas in your army. There are thousands of Ratas on your side, each capable of contending with 1,000 warriors at once. There are also numerous Maharatas who can stand against 10,000, and many Atiratas who can face almost an unlimited number of opponents. You, O son of Gandhari, are an Atirata, and your brothers are all Maharatas. All of you are skillful elephant and chariot drivers and expert with weapons. You will certainly slay the Pandava forces in large numbers. Bhishma then described the strength of every principal warrior on the Kaurava's side. He described Kritavarma, Shalya, Kripa, Drona, Ashwatthama, and Bhalika as Atiratas. When he came to Karna, who was usually considered an Atirata, and upon whom Duryodhana pinned his hopes, Bhishma said, Because of Parashuram's curse and the loss of his celestial armor, Karna is no longer powerful. Although he brags of his prowess, and you have elevated him to a higher station than he deserves, he is of little consequence. In battle, he becomes confounded and is too soft on the enemy. In my opinion, Karna is only a half a Ratta, and when he comes before Arjuna, he will not escape with his life. Drona agreed. It is so. What you say is never false. Then there was a heated exchange between Karna and Bhishma, because Bhishma still would not give Karna any credit which Karna always felt he deserved, but never got from Bhishma. Duryodhan leapt up. Be peaceful, O son of Ganga. I need both you and Karna in this fight. No doubt you will both perform heroic deeds. Leave aside this petty squabbling and tell me more of the strengths and weaknesses of the two sides, for the fight will soon begin. Still glaring at Karna, Bhishma began to describe the Pandava's strength. The pious King Yudhishthira is himself a mighty Maharata. He will roam about in battle like fire itself. His brother Bhimasena is powerful beyond measure. His strength is not human, and in fight with either mace or arrows, he is without equals. The two sons of Madri are peerless fighters. Remembering their hard suffering in the forest, they will release the poison of their anger upon your men. O Duryodhan, all five Pandavas are great souls and devotees of the Supreme Lord. They are invincible. They have all practiced asceticism and are devoted to virtue. Their prowess is incomparable as you saw at the Rajasuya sacrifice when they conquered the entire earth. Even as children, you saw their extraordinary strength. And that is when you first became envious of them. In my view, you should avoid them in battle. Bhishma looked intently at Duryodhana as he spoke. Regarding the copper-eyed Arjuna, who has Narayan as his ally, I say this. No brave warrior in either army can match him in any way. Even among the gods, Gandharvas, Nagas, Rakshasas, and Yakshas, Arjuna has no equal. What to speak among men? He has the Gandiva bow. He has a divine chariot drawn by horses that can fly at the speed of the wind. He has impenetrable celestial armor. And he has two inexhaustible quivers. He knows every celestial weapon. Arjuna will wreak havoc in your army, O King. Only myself or the preceptor Drona can advance against him. There is no third warrior capable of standing before him when he pours forth his showers of arrows. But he is young and fit, while both Drona and I are old and worn out. He now waits for battle with Lord Keshava at his side. All the kings in Duryodhana's tent heard Bhima's description of Arjuna and felt devoid of power. Bhishma described the other fighters on the Pandava side. Having named many of them as Atiratas and Maharatas, he then spoke about Shikhandi. You have all heard that Shikhandi is destined to kill me. He was born a woman, and I will therefore not face him in battle. Listen now as I tell you his history, which I have heard from Narada Rishi. Part 6. Karna calls out Bhishma. Karna sprang up from his seat, his eyes angry. Oh, grandfather, you are ever given to piercing me with your sharp words. What sin have I committed that you derive such pleasure from insulting me? I tolerate it only for Duryodhana's sake. In my opinion, you too are only one half rut. I do not speak in untruth when I say that you are the enemy of the entire universe. You are the enemy of the entire universe. You are the Kuru's enemy in the guise of a friend. Who else would seek to create disunion among our forces and sap their energy by vicious descriptions of their power? By saying that one is greater than another based upon your own estimation, you simply discourage the fighters. You are moved only by desire and hatred. Karna's voice filled the tent. He could no longer tolerate Bhishma's stinging words. Clenching his fists, he turned toward Duryodhan. O king, abandon this wicked man. Abandon him at once. If you do not, he will soon destroy your armor by sowing the seeds of discord. What is the use of his estimations? Let me go out to meet the Pandava armies. They will soon be routed like bulls meeting a tiger. Bhishma boasts of being able to fight the universe, but his words are vain and empty. Bhishma is old and senile. His intelligence has become like a boy. Reject him at once and choose me instead. Alone, I can slay the Pandavas and all their followers. However, I will not do it while Bhishma is still on the battlefield. The glory and fame of a victory goes to the commander and not to the individual fighters. I will do nothing to increase Bhishma's fame. When he is killed, then I will come out and display my prowess. Bhishma looked contemptuously at Karna. The time for battle has arrived. Long have I known this calamity would come. Now the burden of this battle, vast like an ocean, rests upon my shoulders. I have no desire to create dispute among our men. For this reason only do you still live, O son of Asuta. Although I am now old, and you, Karna, are young, I would still immediately destroy your desire for battle and take your very life. The Kuru commander felt his anger rising. Good men do not approve of self-praise, but I will say something now because I have lost my temper. When I attended the Svayamvara at Kashi, I single-handedly overpowered all the kings on earth. What have you done, Karna? You are an ill-starred man. And ever since your arrival, the Kurus have met with disaster. Now prove your words in battle. I will see your actual strength when I see you escape from Arjuna, O man of wicked intelligence.